and welcome to the official podcast of Solarfly Productions and SolarflyPro.com. This is the show where we talk about movies, TV shows, and the news. I'm your host, Garrett Ray. And joining me, it's Ian Hackney.
I'm not on my phone.
No, he's not. He is. He lied to you. You don't trust him. Nothing he says throughout the rest of the show.
True.
So look, if you're listening for news, just a heads up, this is part of a double feature that we're doing for the week. So the news is in the previous episode. So if you want to check that out, you can go back there. Also, we reviewed Creed 2, so you can listen to our thoughts on that.
Yep.
Good movie. We liked it. That's the spoiler review for our spoiler other review for our spoilery review.
Yep.
Yes. But in any case, this episode, there's no news. We're just going to talk about a movie, and it's a movie that everyone can see right now in their own homes.
If you have Netflix.
If you have Netflix, of course you have Netflix. Well, 90% of most people. Some people only do Hulu?
Mm-hmm.
Idiots. But
you got to have both, in my opinion.
If you have Hulu, at least get the commercial free version, because then you're paying to watch ads, and that's stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like $4 more a month. Just,
through that.
They make a lot more money off of you than that if you don't do that. So.
Right.
Yep.
Watching all those commercials.
Oh, commercials. They're just the worst.
It's 2018.
Gosh dang it.
Stop it. That's how I make my money, but.
Yeah, right? All right, so this week we're going to talk about The Ballad of Buster Scruggs. So this was made by Joel and Ethan Coen, the Coen brothers, who have done a lot of stuff. I mean, just the Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? You've got Hail Caesar. You've got the True Grit remake. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've done a lot of things. And this is an interesting movie because it's actually an anthology, so it's a collection of short films.
Yeah.
And okay, so I grew up watching Westerns with my dad. This was kind of like, I watched this with my dad.
Yeah.
Because he was like, I'll watch it with you. I was like, okay.
Okay.
So we sat down and watched it. And is this something that you would have ever watched if I hadn't forced this upon you last night?
Okay, honestly, if you hadn't forced this upon me, I wouldn't have made it past the first 20 seconds.
Really?
Because the first 20 seconds were just so... Because I, like, you know me, I never know what I'm getting into. I didn't do any research.
Right.
I was just like, okay, I'm watching this, turn it on. And it was on, I looked at it, and I was like, what the heck does he have me watching? Is this a Western musical? Seriously, I was like...
I knew I was throwing you a curveball.
What is this Western musical piece of crap? I'm turning it off, and I'm going to pretend like I watched it.
I actually wondered when I said it to you. I wondered if you had even heard about it.
No, I hadn't. But it's funny, I had, but I didn't know about it because it's a popular meme right now.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. Is it your first time? Have you seen that?
Oh, yeah.
First time?
Right. Yeah. Okay. I now that you mentioned that, I have seen that once on Reddit.
Yeah.
Look, it's a weird animal, that's for sure.
It starts off weird. It normalizes, and you get really used to it really quick.
Right, yeah.
After the first one.
So I've seen the first story in there, which the first one is The Ballad of Buster Scruggs.
Yes.
I've seen that one twice. The rest I've just seen once. But
okay.
So here's, as we do on this show, we do spoiler free and then spoilery.
Yes.
So we're going to do spoiler free. Basically, do you want to do like each one good, bad, great, or terrible for that, or should we do a good, bad, great, or terrible for just the overall experience?
We got to do the overall experience.
Okay.
Because it's an experience overall.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. So overall experience for you, how do you feel about it?
I was so close to giving this a good because it really kept my attention.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, I'd have to give it a bad.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that hurts me, but okay.
Overall, I'd have to give it a bad. It was interesting, and I mean, even... If I had, for some reason, clicked on it myself and made it past those first, 20 seconds, I would have watched the whole thing myself.
Yeah.
Like, it got my attention, and I went through it. But overall, there was nothing about it that I was just like, I was never really wowed by anything. It was more just like when you go to a museum to see, like, a three-legged frog type of thing, you just gotta see it, right? You're just like, what the heck is this about? Like,
I go to a museum and see a three-legged frog.
I know it's not weird. Just cut one of his legs off, but... But it just seemed like a freak show, and it's interesting, but it's not anything my taste, I guess.
Okay, yeah.
What about you?
I'm really torn because there's some parts of this I really loved.
Uh-huh.
And there's some parts of it I was just kind of meh on.
Yeah.
So I guess with that being my criteria, like, I was entertained 75% of the movie's runtime. Yeah. There are definitely some parts where I was like, okay. I'm going to give it a good because I love the Coen brothers' style of dark comedy.
Yeah.
They also did The Big Lebowski.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's those guys. And it's...
Did they do Stranger Things? Why is that
the Coen? No, no, that's the Duffer Brothers.
Oh, okay, okay.
But yeah, like, and also, like, I grew up with, like, Cool Water is a song that I listened to as a kid, sung by Marty Robbins.
Yeah.
And, like, as a matter of fact, my brother and I, we would go spend time out on my cousin's ranch, and they called me... I forget what it was now, but basically there was a song about a little man who got into a gunfight with a bigger man and killed him, and he's basically like, that's his life. Everyone treats him terribly, but he's really fast with a gun, but he's not a bad guy, and he has to keep moving on because people threaten him, and he's like,
yeah.
And they called me that character's name because Mr. Shorty. That's what it called. They called me Mr. Shorty because I was always fighting with my brother.
Yeah.
Which doesn't paint my brother in a good light, I'll be honest. But you know, that, like, a lot of these songs I recognized and was like into that. Because it's like, oh yeah, I remember those things.
Mm-hmm.
But I think my favorite short in this one is The Ballad of Buster Scruggs.
Yeah.
That's the most fun one for sure.
It is. It's the most fun, and it also has like a little bit of meaning behind it. It's like, it's nice.
Yeah.
It's just like all around a nice experience.
I would say if you're into Westerns or you like the Coen brothers, it's definitely worth a watch.
Even if you don't.
It's harder to recommend to those people, though, because they may hate it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like I said, everyone has that little thing where they want to see like the weird. And this is definitely just weird.
There's lots of weird. Yeah,
it's just like completely out of pocket. Like, is this possible? Yeah, it's possible.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, so let's just say, look, I think it's worth a watch.
I can say that.
It's on Netflix, so, you know, it's no extra money out of your pocket, and it definitely is, like, it's a collection of short stories.
Yeah.
So you could watch these, like, get to the end of one and go, okay, and I'll go off and do something else, come back to it.
Yeah, because it's, like, 2 hours, 15 minutes, something like that.
Yeah, it's quite a bit of content.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so as far as what our audience said, because I ran a poll on this one as well, I did the thing. 40% said it was good, 0% said it was bad, 20% said it was great, and 40% said it was terrible.
Oh. So, see? I can see that.
Yeah.
But did they really watch the whole thing? I feel like those 40% probably just like were like, what the heck? I'm out of here.
Yeah, I definitely feel like the first two are kind of the most fun, though. Like, they're good at hooking you in.
Yeah, they are. But like, literally just that first sequence, and then he starts talking on the horse, and you're just like, no, I gotta get out of here.
See, that's interesting, because that first sequence where he starts talking on the horse, I was so incredibly entertained
really?
By that.
The first time watching it?
Yes.
So I watched it twice again as well. Kind of, like, I skimmed through it just to remember what everything was. And the second time going through, I definitely listened to it. And I was like, because I understood more of the character.
Yeah.
Because you're really just, like, thrown into this guy.
Yeah.
But once I understood it a little bit more, I was like, okay, yeah, I'm listening.
I just like the Coen brothers' wordplay. Like, they're very picky about the words they choose.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, him pulling that up and you know, it's not hand-holdy. He has an expansive vocabulary, let's say.
Oh, yeah.
But when he says misanthrope, I was like, I don't exactly know what that means. I just know it's used on these wanted posters.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't hate my fellow man. I just figure that lying and cheating is, you know, part of the human spirit. And if you're expecting anything less, then you're fooling yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it does a good job of explaining that while at the same time, you know, letting you be an adult and go, I can take meaning of words
from context
clues. That's what I was. Yeah, that was context clues. I can't do it, but most people can.
Mm-hmm.
But in any case, you know, that, like, I enjoy wordplay a lot, even though you wouldn't expect me to be capable of that from listening to this podcast. But no, I really enjoyed that one. I guess, man, it's really hard to talk about these without getting into spoilers. Go watch it.
Yeah, you definitely need to. Well,
if you're an adult.
I don't feel like people would click on this if they hadn't watched it yet. But if you haven't, if you just like need a late night Netflix movie, it's it'll tickle your, I don't know, your darker side.
Yeah, your dark funny bone.
Yeah, it'll tickle it.
Yeah, it's, yeah, let's get into the spoilers. I just want to talk about these individually.
Yeah, let's rock it.
So, the Ballad of Buster Scruggs is what?
No, I'm kidding.
Go backwards? Yeah, go from the least interesting one to the most.
Hey.
Yeah, so I like the fact that he's a singing cowboy. Mm-hmm. That actor Tim Blake Nelson has been in a lot of stuff. You know his face even if you don't know his name.
Yeah.
He really sells this whole thing.
He does.
I love kind of when the first moment, because it really catches you off guard, mm-hmm. is when the guy goes, "Your ironwork," and he pulls it out and shoots him right in the head.
Yep.
He goes, "It appears to do, yes." And he's still like this cheerful guy, uh-huh. and then he takes out the whole bar.
Still like, smiling.
It's like, that's so much fun, and it's definitely dark humor.
It is, but literally right before that he says, "Don't let my cheerful demeanor and my clean-cut looks
fool you.
I've been known to break a couple laws myself, you know, especially the ones for...
I've been known to violate the laws of man and a couple of the laws of God himself." Uh-huh. Yeah, something like that.
Like, he literally just said it. So.
Right. You ain't no outlaw. Yeah, so that all is really great. Like, and the way that it's shot as well, like, it's all kind of a throwback to those old Western styles of shooting.
Super Western. They're true to their form.
Definitely, yeah. Which is why the comedy sells well, because there's respect for kind of the thing they're playing off of.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's but that one especially, when he gets into the second saloon, you know, and the guy threatens him, and he's like, right before that, you know, the line about, "Well, I don't much like not being armed, but seeing as how everyone is similarly disadvantaged, I suppose there's no harm," you know, like that type of thing. And then, like, turning the table on that, and then him quite literally turning the tables on the other guy when he kicks it and makes the guy shoot himself in the head.
Times. That was interesting to watch.
It was really, like, it's almost slapsticky.
Yeah, I mean, the one time, I get it. Three times.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, it's slapsticky.
And but I love that stuff. Like, I've mentioned this on the show before, but I trained with Ringling Brothers clowns when I was a kid. Like, I grew up in that. So, like, I love that stuff when I see it happen. But yeah, then him going into the song, and then the brother coming in and him freaking out while everyone's singing around.
Yeah,
him,
like, "Hey, why are you singing? You just killed my brother."
Right. Yeah. Well,
your brother had a gun on me.
It's all really good. It's like, you know, the killer with a smile, you can do it two ways. You can do it like the Joker, or you can do it like this, where he's just like, "It's just, you know, I'm just doing what I gotta."
It's like, I gotta do it. You know, it's the Wild West.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Where it goes, one of my favorite jokes in the whole thing, he steps in that first bar, and he pats his shirt and steps away, and there's this outline of dust of him.
Yeah, the dust.
It's just, I laughed so hard when I saw that. I don't know why. I just, that got me really, really good.
Yeah.
I,
for some reason, when I saw that, I was thinking Speed. Like, oh, maybe this guy's like fast, and there's something I'm not seeing here. But I'm pretty sure he was just dusty.
Yeah, he was just dusty, and it was just funny to see that cloud of dust be in the exact shape of the man that was standing there.
Which you have to be fast to do. I'm just saying.
Well, that's true.
Just saying.
Yeah, he's Quicksilver's dad. But yeah, I really enjoyed that one when the man in black comes in and, you know, he's singing the song about there's always a faster gun. Like, it goes completely wacko at the end, and you see him like floating up to heaven, and
yeah, like, well, you just skipped a part.
Which part did I skip? Oh, where
when he gets into the duel with his brother, he just humiliates.
Oh,
his brother.
Yeah. When he shoots one finger,
his trigger finger, and then he's like looking at his hand, and he shoots all the other fingers off. The brother tries to get the other gun out, and so he pulls out a mirror.
Pulls out a mirror.
And he's like, "Well, I hope I can hit him." And he hits him.
But his dialogue really makes it.
Yeah, like, he's like, well,
because with the fingers, he goes, "Well, it's kind of hard to shoot with them other fingers, but best to not be too careful." And then you just hear four shots, and his fingers are disappearing.
Yep. That was crazy.
It's amazing.
And he got the...
Yeah, and when he looks, like, he's looking in the mirror, he goes, "Well, his heart's on the left, but in the mirror it'd be on the right."
But we're best facing not the play same
it
way.
Right, and the gun's facing backwards. Best to not play it too fancy. It shoots him, and it's just like... And my mom, because the second time I watched it with my mom, and she was like, he would not be able to hear anything. And that's why I noticed when he turns around, he holsters the gun and he kind of like sticks his finger in his ear and wiggles it around.
Yeah.
So obviously he's done this before.
Exactly.
And he's just like, yeah, it's a little annoying now, but I still, you know. Yeah, it really is. Like, it's just a lot of fun.
It was good. And let me just say, watching this, I had no idea that they were short stories. I don't know if you knew there were short stories going in.
I did after the first one.
Okay. Well, after the first one. But watching this, I thought this was a full ballad of... I thought I was about to watch a full movie with this guy.
Right, 2 hours. Yeah.
And I was almost ready. I was like, okay, well, this is going. Let's see where this goes.
I would have loved for a two-hour Buster Scruggs movie.
And then, of course, the mercenary comes in, or I guess you just call him a guy looking for fame.
Man in Black is what I call him.
Yeah, the man in black. He is just like, hey, if I kill you, I get some fame around here or something like that. Pretty much that was his reasoning, right? He's like, you're so-and-so, right?
I hear you're the guy to beat.
I hear you're the guy to beat.
Both at singing and shooting.
Yeah, exactly. And, that guy sings better and he shoots better. Yeah. It was almost surreal when he got shot, though. It was so weird for me. Like, I was taken back because, like I said, I wasn't sure where it was headed. And you kind of see the tables turn where he says, you need a count? And he says, no.
No, sir. And it's just over.
Yeah. No, sir. Boom. And that's exactly what he had just did to all these people.
Right, yeah.
And so it's just like, it's weird he didn't move, but it's like, oh, he really is that much faster. And then here's the thing. He takes his hat off, and I'm like, was he messing with him? Because still, I don't know this is about to be over.
Yeah.
Was he messing with him? You see the front of the hat. You see a hole. Then you see the back of the hat. You see
and
the
that's
hole
where the
with
blood
the blood.
Is.
Yeah, and then it pans up to his head, and you see the bullet. And I don't know what he says.
Well, that ain't good.
Yeah, well, that ain't good. And he falls down. I'm just like, what? Have you seen Attack on Titan?
No, I still haven't.
Yeah, I've seen. Well, the first. Well, I don't want to spoil anything, but it was the same surprise when a main character dies, you're just like, what?
Yeah.
You're just like, what?
And that was the whole sequence you just talked about where, you know, we don't see the bullet hit him, and it's just you hear the gunshot, and then there's like you look at the hat and goes, well, there's a hole, but doesn't look to be bloody, and then the backside has all the blood and stuff. It's a series of really great reveals, and so like that's one of the things I love about film is you can do something like that.
Yeah, it really had me on the edge of my seat.
Yeah, and I would love to see more of that character. Honestly,
well, he's dead.
Yeah, well, but you know, before that, like him building up to that point, I don't know.
That would be interesting.
It's interesting, like, how, you know, when he says, no, sir, and, you know, before that, he's being cocky. He's like, you know, I might need to become an undertaker, stop doing all the, you know, the detail work, and letting another man profit off of what I'm doing, you know. And they do a really good job of instilling that level of confidence in him. And you're feeling confident as well.
Oh, yeah.
So when the other guy calls it and you hear the gunshot, you're like, well, he must have missed.
Right.
Because nothing happened.
And he's standing, and, you know.
Right, yeah. I love that one. I think that one's definitely worth watching.
It was great. And then it instilled that comedy back in it when they started singing and, you know, he floated off to heaven.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was like, it was serious for a second. It got dark and you're like, well, shoot.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's dead. And then, you know.
And that is, of course, something that's the thing that ties all the shorts of this anthology series together is death. I was thinking about this the other day. I was like, this is basically A Million Ways to Die in the West, but with actual comedy.
Yeah.
So, take that, Seth MacFarlane, one of the richest comedians alive.
Right? But some of it's, like, really, like, not even laugh comedy. It's, like, straight just, like, dang.
Yeah, yeah. Especially the gal who got rattled.
Yep. And the No Arms guy.
Yeah, but we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah,
Before we get to those, let's talk about Nir Algodones. Algodones? I don't know.
What's that one about?
This is where James Franco shows up to rob a bank.
Oh, yes. The pot and pan guy.
Yes.
Yes, the pots and the pans.
Pot shot.
Yep. Gosh, that was crazy.
That was... I loved this one, like, because, you know, there's the tension of, like, a man going to rob a bank, and then they break it with the guy who's manning this.
Yeah.
And him being real talkative because there's no one around,
right?
And then him being totally crazy and running at him with pots and pans and stuff. I love the turn that they did in that. James Franco actually bearable in this movie for me for once.
Yeah, definitely. He didn't talk much.
Yeah, that's why he was good.
he let his eyes and his like facial expressions do the real cowboy.
I love like the three shotguns and him freaking out and jumping up on the counter.
Yeah.
You know, like all that stuff was good. Like this one, there's not as much to talk about, I feel.
No, definitely not. It this one, and at the end of the first one as well, and then at the start of this one, I started to get that almost like superhuman vibe from it. Like, mm-hmm. is this really how it's happening? Are they is a little stretched or stuff like that?
Yeah.
Which, I mean, they're stories, right? So they could be a little far-fetched, like the guy getting like three different shotgun shots that quick and then being gone before he even has a chance to look up.
But those are rigged under the counter.
Exactly.
Right, yeah.
But imagine...
Well, I think he had it rigged up so he could pull one thing and it would go... Oh,
did all three?
Boom, boom, boom.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, that's pretty cool.
I don't know, I need to look at it again.
Me too. But and then he's gone, and so he's gone.
Yep.
James Franco gets all the cash, starts running, and he gets shot at, and he looks back, and there's nothing there. It's just like, I was like, and I'm still thinking, is this like a super fast old man? Like,
yeah.
I don't know what's happening here.
It's just and a man covered in pans.
Just a man covered in pans and a wash rack.
A washboard,
Oh my gosh. And it's another one of those things where like you're on the edge of your seat because you're like, don't miss. And he gets like four shots off.
Yep.
But every time it gets blocked.
And he's like, laughing and going, headshot.
Headshot. Oh my gosh.
And it's funny because the book before that actually shows you that's where this is going to end up. But you're like, what?
Yeah, you see whatever. A guy in like pots and pans.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yep, he gets popped. But that's not even the most interesting part.
I disagree. The old man covered in pans is the most interesting part to me. That was
pretty interesting, definitely. But he, of course, gets caught. I guess they have a whole trial and while he's knocked out.
Yeah.
So he's getting ready to get hung.
Yeah, when he wakes up, they're like, well, we tried you, it was fair. And he's like, what?
You want to give any of these guys your horse?
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, that was fun. That was I'd fun.
Prefer not for anything to have it. Well,
that's selfish.
It's just selfish. Yeah. It would save us a lot of fighting, is what he says.
Yeah.
Like, no.
And then, of course, natives attack.
Right, yep.
You get the arrow through the neck.
Which you can't do because it's 2018, so that's unbelievable that they would try to get away with that, but that's fine. Yeah, when he gets set free.
You know what I... Hold on, before we move up.
Yes.
You know what I thought when I saw this? And it seems so wrong to think about... Whoops, I'm like shaking the table. But I wonder if there are any natives watching this, like, you know, 2018 natives, and saying... Yeah. You know, I like that kept going through my head. I was like, they can't be rooting for the Western guys.
No, absolutely.
They
hated
the Western guys. Like they have to. Like that's just the time, right?
Plus he's a criminal.
Exactly. Well, so. Well, I mean like all of them as a whole.
Oh, right.
Like,
yeah, they're you know, also they kill everyone like, else in the posse.
Yeah, like they killed everybody right there. I like it makes me wonder, it's like they're probably like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, that's just something that crossed my mind. Yeah.
Should you watch this with someone from the Cherokee Nation?
No.
That's the question.
No. They can watch it, and you can watch it.
But don't watch it in the same room.
Don't watch it together.
Guys would just be staring at each other the whole time. But that one where he gets set free, he rides into town, someone just like kind of goes, he looks like a guy that robbed this other guy.
Yeah.
And the judge is just like, that's good enough, hang him.
Yeah.
Like, I laughed really hard when that happened, because there was no, like, due process or anything. It was just like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, that you know? Sucks. It's the West. You know what was so weird, though? Like, he got shot down. He's with the guy. He's like, you could be my sidekick or whatever like that. And then, I guess, the sheriff or someone rolls up.
Yeah.
And then the other guy runs away. Why doesn't that guy run away? He has like a good 200 yard lead,
right?
Yeah, or like yard lead. He could just turn around with the other guy and just get going. He's on a horse, but I guess he just
James was, Franco, what's going on?
He's all about accepting his fate in this one. Like, there's never any part of him where he's just like scared or worried. He's definitely a guy on his last leg.
Yeah. he knows he deserves it. I think that's kind of it. And like, and at the end when he's up on the gallows and they're about to hang him for a crime he didn't commit.
Yeah.
But, you know, he looks over and there's the old guy crying. He's like, first time?
First time, right.
But then he turns and he sees the woman out there and says, there's a pretty girl. It's kind of like that, you know, oh, I could have had that if I wasn't an idiot, but
Yeah.
Oh well.
I saw that like for a second, but then I took it as, all right, now I can, you know, be at peace. Mm-hmm. I get to see a pretty girl at the end because yeah. I feel like death was just so common. It's just like, oh,
yeah,
nice. I can die happy now, right?
A million ways to die in the West, but with actual comedy.
With actual comedy. Yep.
That one's a fun one as well. It's just it's a fun watch. The pace is great and all that stuff.
Yeah, that was one of my favorites.
Yeah.
It was just because it was just, you never know what's gonna happen. Edge of my seat again.
Yeah. Then we get to the one that probably has the most questionable roots in existing. Yeah. This one's called Meal Ticket.
Oh, the
this is the one where there's an armless and legless man.
Yep.
Who's being carted around by Liam Neeson.
That's Liam Neeson.
It is Liam Neeson. Yes.
I knew it. I was like, oh, it looks like Liam Neeson.
So an aging impresario and his artist Harrison, a young man with no arms and legs, travel from town to town in a wagon that converts into a small stage where Harrison theatrically recites classics such as Shelley's poem Ozymandias, the biblical story of Cain and Abel, works by Shakespeare, and Lincoln's Gettysburg Address.
Mm-hmm.
I think this one's too long.
It's a little long. But if you watch it backwards, and I know it sounds weird, but when I got done with it, I wanted to make sure I watched them all thoroughly. Mm-hmm. So I watched backwards, and then I went to like key moments, and I like watched the key moment, then I go backwards, watch the key moment. And it doesn't seem so long then, because this is the only one that's really trying to tell a story, I guess. Like a full story to really let you understand why it ends up, how it ends up. Which, of course, everyone gets that, right? It's so obvious, but... It was the only thing that made it long was him talking. Like I feel like they could have shortened his.
That yeah, that's mostly what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
like
they his performances could have
been shortened a little bit.
Like it was nice, and I know they wanted to emphasize like, wow, this guy's like passionate and he knows all this stuff by heart. This is what makes him Meal Ticket, right?
Right. Yeah.
There's got to be something special about this, right?
But there's the diminishing returns on that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But you see it like. Have that downhill slope from the beginning.
Yeah,
you have this packed house, and you have how he treats him. You know, after that first performance when he made all that money, he's like holding him, he's feeding him, like he's making sure the food's like the right temperature. The second one, not as packed, and he's still feeding him. He doesn't hold him this time, but like the food's too hot. But Liam doesn't care. He's just like feeding him the food and just yeah. like just eat it, hurry up, type of thing. And then he goes and sees the nice lady. Turns him around, and then the third one, I think there's like three people in the crowd, and
yep.
then he goes to get money for it. No one puts money in the hat,
and I mean it's obviously a reflection on like the entertainment industry
yeah.
itself, and how you know things of substance have been thrown out for the sake of something sensational.
Yeah,
and
yeah, I see that.
And so, like, there, you know, that one, I think that's the one that has the most, like, obvious, you know, this is what it's about
yeah,
type thing.
Yeah, it's super obvious.
But, I don't know, I felt like when I was watching it, I was like, okay, I could deal with a little less of the recitations.
Yeah, they were long, and, like, he's a charismatic speaker. I know that's mm-hmm. the whole point.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Isn't it weird how we're not, like, there is nothing ever weirded me out about him being armless or legless.
No.
2018.
I'm just kind of like, okay.
Yeah, I was like, oh.
Hashtag not my villain.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the ending is super depressing where he literally throws him off a bridge. We don't see it.
I had to rewatch it, like, four times, dude, because I thought I'd looked away or something because I saw him stop. I saw the guy looking at what he's doing. The armless guy's like looking out. He's like looking at the chicken because this time he didn't feed him.
Yeah.
He fed the chicken. And so he's looking back at the chicken and like he sees where he's at the bridge and he throws the rock down and he's just like, what's going on? And the guy like comes back and he just looks at him.
Smiles at him, yeah.
Just smiles at him. And then all of a sudden he's riding off and then no armless guy in the back.
Yep, he killed him.
Just threw him off.
Depressing.
And I had to rewind it. I was like, what happened to him?
Right, yeah.
And I was like, what happened to him? I was like, oh.
Yeah.
He was checking to see if it was deep enough.
They just did it without actually showing
Why him. Not just leave him somewhere? Why gotta freaking...
Still got a mouth on him, man.
Yeah.
Gotta hush that mouth, even if he can't sign what happened.
Yeah, true. That was like... It didn't get depressing until like literally the last
right.
scene where he's riding off and he's not in the back anymore. And I was just like, dang.
Yeah.
He's kind of like, get a sideways face.
It's in the series of short films, and it's like like I said, it's definitely the one that has the most obvious, like, here's the point of it.
This is what's going on.
But also it's the one that I found least interesting.
Yeah. I found...
Well, okay.
Yeah, you're about to say what I'm about to say. Because there's two other ones that are equally as not interesting, but at least one makes you, like, think a little bit. Like, why is this even here?
Yeah.
And then the other one's just like... Yeah.
There's only one other one that I really kind of was like, eh, on.
Is it the one with the girl?
No.
Really?
Actually.
Okay. Well, on to the next one.
Okay.
Is the next one the one with the girl?
No, the next one is All Gold Canyon.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
So.
Old man.
So in All Gold Canyon, a grizzled prospector arrives in a pristine mountain valley and decides to dig for gold in a grassy meadow beside a river.
There you go.
How do you feel about this one?
This is one of the ones that I lost interest in multiple times, but I got on my phone, I glanced over. There wasn't really much going on. It was definitely just a guy digging and, like, going for gold. The one part that struck out to me was when he got the egg.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When he got the egg. I didn't see any, like, sort of imagery in it or anything like that. Besides, how high can a bird count anyways?
Yeah.
It just seems like an old guy digging for gold. I didn't really get much to it. I think the real, I guess you'd call it artistry, came when he, like, struck it big.
Yeah.
And then, I guess the guy, what do you call it? Stalking his,
I'm not exactly sure what you would call him. I'm sure there's, like, an actual, he calls him a skunk.
Yeah, well, he said it in there. He's like, you're stalking my trail or something like that.
Yeah, something like
stalking
that.
Stalking his trail. I guess just, like, waiting to see if he hit it. Hit it big. But,
yeah, young man stalking his claim. A claim stalker?
Yeah. Stalking his claim. And then as soon as he finds it, guy shoots him. Obviously a young guy, which I felt like was a really obvious point to, like, get a young guy.
Maybe, yeah. I don't... It's based on a story by Jack London. I'm not sure how old the story is, but...
Okay. I found it really obvious. And the thing with the egg was, after he shot him, he rolled a cigarette, took a couple puffs, put the cigarette out, and he looked back, and there was a bird flying.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the bird thing is.
Yeah, and, like, I tried to get something there, but I was like, it probably means nothing, especially once it was over, but I just saw it. And, like, he made it a point to look back at the bird. So,
yeah, I thought the character, the old man, was interesting, like, talking to the land and stuff. Like, I guess the difference would be, like, between him and the claim stalker, you know, how he has kind of more respect for the land that he's on,
mm-hmm.
versus this guy is just, you know, he's smoking and polluting the area, basically, you know, if you will. And it's kind of a... I guess you're right about it making a point about being a young man, but mm-hmm. one could argue that, you know, young people want it and they want it now and they don't want to, you know, have to deal with all the other stuff that comes along with getting to that point,
you know?
I'm not like, millennials are killing the entertainment industry, you know, but, like, I get it, 'cause I've been the same way in times, and, like, I understand that. But I don't know. I felt it was more about, you know, greed.
Yeah.
And maybe there's something there about how, you know, this, he's alone searching for gold and stuff.
Yeah.
And how that's not really fulfilling. I don't know. I honestly don't know the point of it, but I do know I was interested in, like, seeing how, like, you know, you start to find the run of gold and, mm-hmm. like, how you build in with that V and stuff.
Yeah.
I was interested in that way, but I also did think when I was watching it, I said, if I watch this again, would I be as interested in it? Because I'm learning new information about digging for gold right now, and that's interesting to me, but...
No. And, like,
would it be interesting?
There might be something we missed, because I swear I looked down a couple of times. I don't know if you did too, but this was one of the most, like... easy to look away from. It's like I was never on the edge of my seat, even once he was shot.
I only picked up my phone twice throughout this whole the whole 2 hours and 15 minutes.
Was it during? Was one part during this part?
No, actually.
Okay. But of course, after that, the young man finishes cigarette, drops down, I guess to move the body. Maybe I'm not quite sure what he was doing.
I love when the old man turns on him like he had been dead, but he wasn't.
Yeah. It was great. That old man's smart.
Yep. You dirty skunk. Just beating him.
He went to town. And he always double tap, which the old man did. It's all about wisdom in this one.
Mm-hmm.
Always double tap. If you're going to shoot somebody.
One bullet's not enough. You think it is, but it's not. You
gotta put him down. Unless you're not trying to put him down. But if you're trying to put him down, put him down.
Well, if you're shooting someone, you probably do want to put him down.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you shouldn't shoot the person. That's kind of my rule. Like, if I don't want them dead, I won't shoot them.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I work.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, no, I don't know. I was interested in this for the gold digging aspect of it. I think it's definitely the most visually, like, beautiful it of is. Them. With the...
Well... Just because of how green it is.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and like it has like the lake. It has like beautiful contrast. You see mountains in the back. You see the sky. You see the green.
Right.
You see fire like on the night sky. It, like when it comes to like colors and the it's visual the, aspect.
The brightest and happiest looking, for
it,
sure.
It is. The when I can't remember if it was before or after he got shot, but was he talking to himself?
Yeah, like he was talking to Mr. Pocket, is what he called the pocket of gold he was looking for.
Okay.
And yeah, like he was saying stuff like, you know, I'll find you, Mr. Pocket. You're old, you know,
I'm old, but you're older.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like you can't run from me now.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff. And then once he got shot, he was cleaning the wound out. He goes, "You didn't hit nothing important. Mm-hmm. You didn't hit nothing important." And he's dumping water on it.
He went straight through.
Yep. So like that stuff. That's why I say I liked his character. Like, I think he's an interesting dude.
Yeah.
So, I was still interested in this one. It's not the most exciting one. I think the first two are definitely the most interesting.
Yeah.
From a, like, action and stuff happening
standpoint. What's going on.
Yeah. But yeah, also, like, this one, you know, at the beginning, there's all these animals and stuff, and they all leave when he enters the valley, but they come back once he's gone.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I don't know. It's not the most interesting one, but I didn't hate it.
I didn't hate this one either. It was, you know, it was something.
Yeah. All right, so that brings us to The Gal Who Got Rattled. So you don't like this one.
Yeah, it wasn't interesting to me. I completely lost track so many times because there were so many things that didn't seem too important.
I liked it a lot.
You did?
I did.
Maybe I should go back and watch it and not get distracted. Because, like, as soon as the first, like, scene happened, they're, like, across the table, you know, talking about... seconds, like, just take it off her plate, she's done, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, what's going on? Oh, we're going to Oregon tomorrow. Okay, cool. So I'm waiting for the trail, the Oregon thing, and then he's talking about, you know, the deal and getting married, and honestly, I completely missed everything with her brother somehow. It just completely...
Well, since he dies so early on, it's kind of just like, he was is conveyed to us through
afterwards.
Her dialogue later.
Exactly. And of course, he's coughing, which I guess that was, foreshadowing or foreboding from the first scene, because they were talking about coughing and dying quick or whatever.
Yeah,
but it not being contagious. And then he's gone, and then now she's talking to one of the leaders of the caravan. He's asking her if she's okay, if she wants to go back, and then she's talking about some deal with like $400, $200 now, $400 later.
The guy driving her wagon.
Yeah, maybe you can talk about it because like I was just like, does this matter? And like,
Well, let me explain why I thought this was interesting.
Okay.
So the number one reason I thought it was interesting was because of the way that everyone talked.
Mm-hmm.
It was that more formal type of frontier English.
Yeah.
And like I've said, you know, on the show before, like I'm fascinated by how people speak.
Mm-hmm.
And like, especially with, you know, like when you think of people crossing the frontier, you think of, you know, people like, bank robbers and that type of stuff, those type of cowboys. Whereas this is like, you know, this is what the educated of the time would talk like. And I found that interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I say as I move my glasses. I'm not their English with me.
Interesting.
But sorry, I can't do that with my voice right now. That's why I didn't do a Hugh Jackman voice earlier. But good thing we avoided that, right? But I also thought like it was interesting to watch how their relationship bloomed and how it's not like dating how we would, you know, view it these days.
Yeah.
But how there was still
a necessity.
Like an attraction to each other, but it was purely based on this is a kind man. Oh, this is a woman that you know I've kind of developed these feelings for, but I want to have a family. I want to give her that type of homestead and not be like this man that I see who doesn't have that.
Yeah.
And so I like it from a character standpoint, I found it interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely the most depressing one to me.
It is depressing. I mean, it gets depressing right at the end, obviously.
Right, yeah.
But this one, it had the most, I guess, colorful writing. It had lots of foreshadowing, lots of foreboding.
Yeah.
With the dog. You're not going to see him again.
Right.
You know, and that ends up leading to, you know, the events of the last scene.
Right.
So, long story short, long story continued.
And it's definitely the longest chunk of this as well.
It is, it is. They're starting to fall in love. She accepts his proposal, kind of, maybe. And then, I guess, the next day comes, and then they're off doing something, and then when they come back, they're like, where's Mrs. whoever?
I can't remember her name.
It probably doesn't matter.
Longbow.
Mrs. Longbow.
Alice Longbow.
It's like, oh, she heard a bark, and she went straight to it, towards it. So yeah.
And the old cowboy has to go out there.
Yeah, so the older cowboy goes out to get her, of course, and you know, she's there holding her dog. The dog's laughing at prairie dogs. Which is also foreshadowing for the holes in the ground.
Yeah, yeah. They do a real good job of setting up that scene there.
It just keeps on going. And then the old cowboy, I liked him a lot. I liked him a lot there because my first instinct was, oh, crap, we need to run back to the, you know, the place. And he's like, and we can't lead him back to those people, you know.
There's
regular people. We got to do it right here and now. If they get us, they get us. And so I really liked that. I didn't feel bad for her. Because I hate when things are someone's fault because they're not thinking. And then they start acting like extremely scared or worried or stuff like that. I hate stuff like that. Yeah. Like Hansel and Gretel, when Hansel eats something and then afterwards he's like crying, like, oh, I'm going to get eaten. Of course you're going to get eaten. You ate the cupcake, idiot. You knew you weren't supposed to eat anything. You know, stuff like that bothers me. And so when she's like crying and like upset, it's like, oh, okay, what do we do? What do we do? Like it was just annoying me a little bit.
Well, really, it's not her fault though. Like, yeah, she went after the dog, but at the same time, if
he had just shot it.
If Billy had just shot the dog instead of scaring it off, yeah, this wouldn't have happened.
That would have happened because he did end up following them like they said he would. Yep. And he was nearby barking at the groundhogs, which I understand. When you think about it, it's not her fault at all. She's just and find a dog that wasn't hers, question mark.
Yeah.
You know, she's just a kind soul, which is nice. But it was just when, you know, she's freaking out and like tells her to get the gun, she's like, no, and she's like throwing the gun. I'm like, there are people trying to kill you, hold the gun. Like, stop. But anyways, it led for a really interesting ongoing scene. Like,
yeah,
that scene was very long but very, very interesting.
Yeah, and you're into it as he's facing off with these Indians and stuff.
That is a brave man, and like you can tell he's been through some stuff.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it also brings up the question, like if he is alone in this way, why is it possibly something similar to what's just happened?
Mm-hmm.
Because you know, and I don't. Man, it really broke me when he looks at her and he sees her with the bullet hole right between her eyes, and he goes, oh, she ought not to have done it. I was like, I don't know why it was the phrasing and the delivery and stuff, though. I just really was like, yeah, she ought not to have.
Yeah, she ought not have. Like, you know what was really good about that scene, like that part, and it was that it was the shot at the exact same time.
Right.
As soon as he shot the end, like, because you didn't hear the second gunshot.
Exactly.
When he shot the end, like, that's how you knew that she just was looking, and she was like, oh, it's done.
Yep. Yeah, and it's like it's long, but it's not long in the way that I felt like, and this is just my opinion, but it's not long in the way that I felt Meal Ticket was long, where it's like, I get it.
Yeah.
Like this one, it had to take the time to build up the relationship between Billy and Alice.
Exactly.
And establish like why they needed each other, and then also show like a little bit of, you know, he's kind to her, and so it's not like an arranged marriage type thing, so it doesn't feel dirty in
exactly.
a way. Whereas this other thing that she was headed to might be here, she has a chance to actually be married to someone who, even though they belong to different denominations of the church, you know, they still like go, oh, you know what, we can work this together,
this
and we want to make each other's lives better. And I liked watching that blossom, and then so it really sells the tragedy when
he gets
she
back.
Ought not to have done it.
Yeah, and then he gets back, and then the other guy's right there waiting for him, like, hey, where's
And the picture before that says
he didn't know what to say to.
Yeah, he didn't know what he would say to Billy.
Yeah,
yeah. So like that Mr. Arthur didn't know what he would say to Mr. Knapp. That I think was the quote. And so like that that really hurt to watch. I was like, oh man, but I really loved the experience and how it drew me into it.
Yeah.
And I know, like, you weren't super interested in this one, but I
got,
like,
interested at the end, like, during the whole, you know, fight thing.
It was, really, like, it sells it more if you really do pay attention with mm-hmm. that relationship getting built. Because you feel like, you know, you're Billy watching helpless, kind of, in a way. All right, that brings us on to The Mortal Remains. I barely remember this one.
I watched it twice, so...
Interesting dialogue.
It was all interesting dialogue, and I thought this was like alliteration for the afterworld for most of it, but I guess it's not.
Like when they say, "Oh, the guy never stops."
Yeah, I was like, "He never stops."
Oh, so they're being ferried over. This is kind of like, you know, in Greek mythology, how there's
exactly. And he's like, "We're reapers."
The boat. Yeah,
and like maybe it was.
Maybe.
Maybe it was. There's no answer at the end of this one. They really leave it up to you. But when he does say, "We're reapers," the other guy says, "Oh, so you're bounty hunters." And the guy's like, "Well, yeah.
Yeah.
We're bounty hunters." But I think it's just more of a creepy, stalky vibe.
Right.
Because the whole thing is, you know, three people going to a town for three different reasons. It gets into a little bit of her past and the kind of homeless looking guy's past, and then there's some singing. She chokes, then she's okay. That's right, the only reason for her to choke is to show that he's not going to stop, right?
Right.
Or the thunder, whatever his name is,
the coachman's
not going to stop. And then what I had to listen to twice really was the ending dialogue between the skinnier guy, the guy who just sung, and of course the three people in the back,
mm-hmm.
where he's talking about kind of how they forego their, I guess, assassinations. He's like, "I'll tell him an interesting story," and he starts to tell that story. So I think it was just mostly just to be creeped out that these people are here, and it's like what he was just doing would have worked on me.
Yeah,
because that was the whole thing, right? He's telling the story and like talking about it, and then like he quickly changes it to how he feels while his partner is killing the guy, the target.
Yeah,
and then like he always like looks him in the eye, and as they try to understand all of it, I had to rewind that like four times. He's like, when they try to understand it, and the guy's like, "Understand what?" He says,
"Everything."
All of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do they ever understand it? How should I know? I'm just watching.
I just watch.
Yeah.
It was weird. The only thing that confused me is they were so scared, because I thought they knew where they were going, but maybe they didn't. They were so scared to go into the hotel.
Right. Well, I mean, but they carry a dead body into the hotel first.
And it's exactly.
Like, well, I don't want to be in there with the dead guy. Mm-hmm. So writing on Screen Rant, John Orciola, sorry if I
do they have like a
that?
Meaning behind. I'll definitely listen to it.
They argues that The Mortal Remains is a parable of navigating the passage from life to death, and that is, quote, "It is strongly implied that the three travelers, the lady, the Frenchman, and the trapper, are souls being ferried to their last resting place represented by Fort Morgan."
Okay.
And that's kind of how I felt watching it, because like the lighting is definitely, it's eerie in a different way. Like the sun sets throughout their conversation. I do think, okay, so this is something I want to say. It is, by itself, it is a exercise in not moving characters and keeping people interested.
Interested. Yeah.
It, with the dialogue. Mm-hmm. Like, it's really well written.
It is.
And, like, I love the trapper guy and how he would say something and then immediately reverse on what he said.
Yeah.
And, like, his whole story about, you know, having that woman around and they never understood each other. But, you know, you can basically understand each... Like, you know, all of that stuff was fun. Mm-hmm. But it's not the one that is stuck in my brain, really. Mm-hmm. Like the gal who got rattled did, or the Ballad Buster Scruggs.
Yeah.
So...
This was definitely a good one to end on.
You think so? Because I feel like it peters out.
If with kind of this in mind,
mm-hmm.
you know, with Screen Tracks, you know, the passing over to the afterlife, and especially the last shot, I'd say so.
Yeah. Anything, I guess I can say.
Yeah. Anything else? It would have worked, right? Because most of them, it has like an eerie, like moving on type of passage thing. Like at the end of everything, it's like, and he's leaving. Like this just happened. And he's moving on, and she's moving on, and he's going on, you know, type of thing.
Yeah.
But this one, it was like, they're here. Door closed.
Yeah. And it also talks about how, you know, like, it kind of sells the idea of, like, someone, a self-important person who thinks that religion is going to, not, you know, not necessarily a relationship with Jesus, but a religion mm-hmm. will save them, versus a gambler mm-hmm. and, you know, this other guy who has lived a life where he was just by himself and thought he had all the answers.
Yeah.
How that all ends up in the same place.
Right.
You know, whether
it's
you're
like all there.
Self-important, nonchalant, or, you know, whatever else, like, those all end up with you in the same place.
Mm-hmm. Going same spot.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's an interesting thing. I probably need to watch it again to really understand kind of everything they're getting at there.
I mean, with that in mind, I mean, that's what was on the nose. That's what I was mm-hmm. getting at the whole time. But it would be cool if there was something else kind of hidden under it, but there's not. I think it's just here, there.
Hmm. Well, it's an interesting collection of short stories, I think.
It is. It's interesting, and honestly, I was pleasantly surprised. Pleasantly surprised.
Well, I'm glad. Mm-hmm. Still Even though you gave it a bad.
Yeah, still going to give it a bad. Because, like, there were some points where I was just like, and I'm zoned out. But granted, it was like 6, 7 o'clock in the morning.
Right, yep. You had just finished 5 hours of streaming,
it was easy for me to cut out of there.
Yeah. I mean, the only times I picked up my phone really were during The Mortal Remains and Meal Ticket.
Okay.
The first part of Meal Ticket, and then, like, the last quarter of
Mortal Remains.
I was okay. But yeah, no, I definitely recommend Six Ways to Die in the West.
Right? I wouldn't mind more of stuff like this.
Yeah.
It reminded me a lot. Have you seen Black Mirror?
No, I haven't yet. Everyone talks about it, which is why I didn't watch it.
Yeah.
It's too popular for me. I'm too cool for that.
It's kind of like an old school Western Black Mirror because, now granted, this is much better than Black Mirror in my opinion. Because,
oh, you think so?
Yeah, because Black Mirror, it has like these interesting, eerie, dark stories. Mm-hmm. But there's nothing else behind it. There's no morals. It's just meant
to be
like...
It's just the Twilight Zone.
Yeah. It's just meant to be like, well, that happened. You know?
You're now entering the scary door.
Yeah. You never end going like, wow. You know, like, dang. Like, if only she had just waited a second, right?
Yeah.
Or, you know, if only... I don't know.
Isn't there an episode about killer bees?
On that?
On Black Mirror?
I honestly didn't watch all of it. I think I made it through the first season, and then I got kind of bored.
Okay. Yeah, I just remember reading something about killer bees or something like that.
Yeah, they had killer robots.
Well, I mean, that's normal.
Yeah, but, like, there's never any, like, moral, and, like, I like that. I like kind of, like, that sum of just, like, something grew or something was learned or something was lost or something like
right.
that. But it's just, eh.
Technology will kill us all.
Pretty much. Like, there is the one with the guy meets the girl, like, his brother died, so he has, like, all these credits, and there's, like, a singing show, and he, like, uses all of his credits because he has a crush on her, so she could be on the singing show, mm-hmm. and she makes it, but then, I guess, there's, like, another, like, ad that always comes on that's kind of, like, pretty much adult crap. And so he's always like skipping it, but that's like the ad. He's like, use credits for this, but he skips it every time so he can watch her sing. But then at the end of the singing show, he's like, oh, we have enough singers. Have you thought about doing this adult stuff? Mm-hmm. And, at the end of it, that's where she ends up going. And then he's just like, goes mad and like bikes, gets all the credits back, goes on the show, and then holds a glass to himself. He's like, I'm going to do this in front of all these people that are watching. I just want to see the girl again. And they're like, wow, you're great. Do you want your own show? And then he literally has a show where he has like glass tubes.
What?
He has glass tubes and he's like, and this is bad. And I don't understand this and that and that. And then pretty much it's like trying to escape having to bike. Because when you bike, you create electricity for everybody. Uh-huh. And so that's how you get your currency and then use your currency in your room or whatever. And then that's it.
I've got to see this to try and figure out if there's...
Dude. I'll try to find that episode if you just want to watch that one.
Yeah, please do.
Because you don't want to watch the first episode.
There's like pigs and
yeah.
I've read something about that too. Yeah.
It's just stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, don't want to watch that one. I can skip it though.
Yeah, you can definitely skip
until
it.
Until someone asked me, hey, we have enough singers. Do you want to be on this thing?
Yeah.
I'll reshoot the first episode.
It looks like the guy from Get Out, actually. The guy from Get Out.
I haven't seen any images out of him.
Yeah, he's biking, so check that out. Sorry I went on a rant there, but what it reminds me of, but this is, like, better because it's deeper. And I know everything doesn't have to be deep. Sometimes it's nice to leave it to the imagination. But it's so nice to get that to get feeling out of it, you know?
Right, yeah.
Not just be like, that happened.
Well, and that's something. So I was in the car with my parents. Mm-hmm. We went to San Antonio this weekend for a conference thing. And I was sitting there talking with my dad, and the story came up about I was talking to my brother about Venom.
Yeah.
And I was like, the part where Venom decides he's going to be a good guy now doesn't make any sense. And mm-hmm. like that whole, all of his dialogue there is kind of weird.
Yeah.
And my brother told me I was overanalyzing it. And I was like, well, no, it's not overanalyzing. It's just basic story. Like mm-hmm. there should have been something that he had to make a decision. Just was to like, kind of cut. Yeah. You know? And my dad was like, well, maybe you are overanalyzing it. And I was like, no, it's like story is important. And he mm-hmm. said, no, story doesn't matter. It just has to be action. I was like, no.
No.
So, yeah, I feel like story is, it's what gets you invested. It's what makes the action something you actually care about.
Yeah.
And yeah, but there's a lot of people out there who don't see it the same way. Yeah. I end up calling my dad a simpleton.
Yeah. people who like Black Mirror are simpletons. It's just like for shock value. So I can see that.
Yeah. I hate shock value.
Yeah, I'm just like shock value. I want some substance.
Shock value really ticks me off. Mm-hmm. Like, it's why I don't like a lot of stand-up comedy. Like, when you go to... And there's plenty of great examples, like people who have specials that have something that's not just shock value.
Yeah.
But when you go to, like, amateur comedy nights and stuff, it's just like, how many times can I drop an F-bomb? You know, and, like, that's their comedy. And it's not really funny. You're just making everyone uncomfortable.
Oh, dude. I went to a comedy show on the cruise.
Oh, yeah?
It was so bad.
Yeah.
It was like, I chuckled a few times because like, haha, you know, it's meant to be funny.
Right. But you're in the mood to laugh.
Yeah. But literally he was just calling out like married couples and stuff like that. It was really awkward.
Right. Yeah.
What'd you get on the island? Oh, he bought me this $3,000 watch. Oh, you're going to give him some.
Right. Yeah. And that's not funny.
And she's like, no. He's like, what? And he just talks about it for like 20 minutes. And it's just like, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know.
If the only comedy you can think of is just like sex and dropping F-bombs, you should rethink your career.
I mean, Mark Wahlberg does it.
Yeah, but he at least can do it with a Boston accent.
Yeah, I'm kidding. Like
but Mark not a Wahlberg. Texan accent.
Anyways.
I got him. But yeah, no, I don't know. I think that story is... Even if you're not someone who overanalyzes movies like we do,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's something you can feel and it's super important. So
learn
story, extract comedy from that.
Right.
That's really all it is. I'd say it's not hard, but it is. It's super
not that
hard.
Simple.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's simple, not easy. I think that's the right way to phrase
so
it.
So like, you don't want to overanalyze it.
No, you do. Wait. Now I'm confused. It's a simple concept. It's not easy to execute.
Yeah.
To make story. It's one thing to analyze it. It's another thing to make it. So, without doing cliches.
True that.
Cliches suck. Sometimes. But also, it's how we communicate themes and ideas.
Yeah.
Maybe you just need to take the cliche and then make something different from that?
You have to make it fresh. That's pretty much it. Yeah. Take a cliche that everybody knows because that's how you bring people together and then make it fresh so people are like, wow, that's a fresh take on that cliche. Like Creed 2.
Yeah.
How to be a man.
I mean, every Rocky movie is just a refresh on Rocky.
Exactly. Make it fresh.
Oh, weird to have a movie franchise that makes itself a cliche, but
mm-hmm.
I guess they're all that way now.
True that.
So, all right. Well, that brings us to the end of our double feature for the week. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Check out Ballad of Buster Scruggs if you can. If you can't, I don't know why you don't have Netflix. But yeah. All right. So
it's not like we didn't just spoil everything. So yeah, make sure you check it out.
It is a different experience to watch than to hear us talk about it, though.
It is
for sure. Find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Roll Sound Pod.
Yeah.
Email us, rollsoundpod@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Leave us a review.
Yeah.
Time to say goodbye to that goat.
Yeah.